We are one of a childhood memory, distinct one. I say childhood, I don't know how old I was, somewhere around 12 or 13 or 14, somewhere around there. I think that most of you can relate to it. Larry, turn me down a little bit, please. So my friend and I, we worked our way through a list of things and see who's better at what. Comparing, you know. We agreed that surfing was a tie. And we agreed that I was better at him at skateboarding, but he was better at doing BMX tricks. And, you know, we went through the list. Frisbee, because he did Frisbee, you know. Went through the list, comparing who's better at what. We decided ultimately that it was an ultimate tie. So we both walked away feeling okay. Did you ever do that? Do you ever compare yourself with someone else? Do you ever measure yourself up against someone else? Or have someone else measure you based upon someone else? And measure, I don't mean by your height. Well, that happens too. All things, right? How many of your days have been made or ruined because you compared yourself to someone else? Or someone else compared you to someone else? That's normal life. It's how we live. It's ugly. But it's normal. And to some degree, certain things have to work that way, right? Every child's nightmare is being the last one to be picked for the team. Whether it's kickball or softball or baseball or soccer, as you're out there on the courts, whether it's PE class or you're just out playing, right? You don't want to be the last one picked. If you're a captain in one of those teams, though, what do? You compare who's there and pick based upon who can play better. Right? You want a raise at work and you think you should get a raise because you're working well. And especially if you look at that other guy who never does anything. When someone's getting hired, the person doing the hiring is comparing them to all the other applicants. My one daughter was told flat out recently, there are hundreds of applicants for this job, and people who are applying, some of them have 20 plus years of experience. So who are they going to hire? The college grad? So life works that way to a certain degree. But then we take it to the wrong degree, in the wrong arena, the wrong areas, in the wrong way. Our self-worth, whether our life is anything or not. It even happens in the church. It's exactly what was going on in Corinth. Every page of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you can't help but go, what a mess that church was. And how patient and gracious God is. They were comparing and commending themselves, at least some of them were, based upon the standard of each other. And in so doing, which we won't get to today, it'll come up, and it's been hinted at before, they judged Paul unworthy. But the irony of it all! They wouldn't be a church if Paul hadn't come with the gospel. They wouldn't be in Christ if Paul hadn't come with the gospel. And yet, they were starting to compare Paul to these well-spoken, easy to listen to, good-looking, tickle their ears, quote-unquote apostles in their midst. Paul begins to rebuke that now in chapter 10 of only a 13-chapter letter, but he's gone through other things first, and now he gets at it. And it should hit home for us, because the heart of the matter here is this issue of commending ourselves based upon having compared ourselves to others. As we're doing that, it's a rebuke. If we're not wanting to do that, and even if we are doing that, it's also an opportunity for freedom. A lot of talk about slavery in our country, right? There's all kinds of slavery. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. At the end of the day, literally, at the end of our day, the end of our lives, what anyone else thinks of you doesn't matter. As Paul said of himself, even what he thinks of himself doesn't matter. What matters is what the one before whom everyone will stand, the living and the dead, what that one thinks of you. And whether or not that one commends you. And that's both an impossible task and a possible task. To stand before that one and be commended. Because on the one hand, none can stand before him. But for those who have trusted in him, to make them able to stand before him. And so therein lies the opportunity for us to sleep like babies at night, at least as far as concerning ourselves with where we stack up, where we match up or line up or measure up with anyone else, anyone else's expectations, standards, or thoughts, which is freedom, which is a gift. A gift only found in Christ. But in that, there's also what we need to battle that temptation to want to go ahead and measure ourselves and compare ourselves to others, which is one of the ways in which we're prone to wander, as we sang earlier. The Corinthians were a mess in ways that have been recorded in the very Word of God. We're all a mess. In various ways. And this issue of theirs is something common to us all. Join me in prayer before we get into the passage and see this right here before us. Father, thank you that in your gentle, patient, long-suffering care for your people in Corinth, almost 2,000 years ago, your word is here for us today to reveal our hearts and where we are off, to direct us to you and your lavish, undeserved kindness. Father, in your mercy and kindness, grant that as we are now in your word, though separated by time and original language, by a work of your Spirit, work on our hearts. Send forth your word. Let it pierce and divide bone and joint and marrow. Father, both encourage us and convict us all at the same time that we answer to Christ. That he is the one with whom we should concern ourselves being commended by. That we would live and that we would boast. And our boast would be in him. A true boast, a lasting boast, and not the empty boast that we settle for where we boast in ourselves. Father, open our eyes, our ears. Grant us to behold what you are saying, who you are, and what your will is now in your word. In Jesus' name. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7 2 weeks ago, we did this passage, but only looked at the aspect of that we have what we have for building up, for serving. We're stewards. Verse 7, look, the Corinthian church is told, look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we, Paul and the other apostles and Timothy. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave me, for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters, for they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter, when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So there you see it. What's going on there? They got some self-professed apostles among them, taking credit for the Corinthian church, someone else's work, comparing themselves to one another, and then comparing Paul to them. They're measuring. They've got the wrong measure. It leads to boasting, implied in the passage, not stated. Boasting that is a wrong boast, an empty boast, and the emptiness of it will be seen on the day when they and everyone else stands before the Lord of heaven and earth. The one they should be concerned with, the one they should look to be commended, is not each other, but the Lord. But that's the opposite of what they're doing right there in verse 12. They measure themselves by one another, and compare themselves with one another. In so doing, they're without understanding. They got it all wrong. Back in chapter 5, Paul said to them, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. What a mess! They're like a daytime show or soap opera or something, right? Aren't they? Yes, we are. Because that's exactly what our tendency is. Compare ourselves, measure ourselves by some other person. Some other man or woman, another girl, another guy, another student, another husband, another father. Am I like them? Am I better than them? I got this job because I was more qualified. That may be the case. Where'd you get those qualifications from? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I believe. What do we have that we have not received? Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Herod in Acts failed to give glory to God, immediately died, was eaten by worms. Not everyone immediately dies and is eaten by worms when they fail to give God the glory and accept glorification from others. But all will either die or stand before the maker of heaven and earth. How about that for evangelism? That's Acts 17. Oh, I see you've got an altar to an unknown God. Well, let me tell you, the God that you say is unknown is known. He's made himself known. He's going to judge the living and dead by the one he raised from the dead. That's what they didn't want to hear anymore. They had a problem with the resurrection, not a problem with judgment. No one really has a problem with judgment when they choose the measure themselves. Walk up to someone in the street. If there's a heaven, would you get into it? Of course I would. Why not? Because, well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. Have you ever lied? Ever? Well, yeah. So you're a liar. Well, not really. I'm not a liar like Joe is. That wasn't a reference to our president, Joe Biden. I tried just to pick a name. Right? They pick the standard, the measure. So do you and so do I. That's our natural tendency. It's the wrong measure. We pick the wrong measure. We function without understanding. Who cares? Who cares, my 12-year-old friend who's better at surfing? Let's go have fun! Thank God there's waves today. Oh, but we care. Why? Because we're without understanding. It's not before people that we will rise or fall. It's before Christ. The right measure comes up in the very next verse. Something is not so obvious in the English as it is in the original, but it's still there. Verse 13, after reading verse 12, when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they're without understanding. Verse 12 could go something like this. But we will not boast beyond limits. Doesn't say we won't boast. We will boast. But it'll be a right boast. We will not boast beyond limits. We will boast with regard to, it could go something like this. We will boast. We will. With regard to the measure, it's the same word from verse 12. The measure of influence of God's measure, there's the word again, twice in that verse, assigned to us. You see, that's the issue. He's playing on words here. They're measuring themselves up against one another and boasting about it. He says, we're going to boast, but we'll boast according to the measure of God's measure given to us. And we use the word measure both ways like that also, right? We measure or compare ourselves to one another. Or I come to your house and I say, may I please have a cup of flour? And you pour me a cup of flour. A right measurement. The first place, it's a comparison. We measure ourselves with one another. We compare ourselves with one another. In the second place, it's a quantity given by the maker of heaven and earth. That's the measure. God's measure. Given us to reach even you with the gospel of Christ, verse 14, and the passage ends up with verse 17, which is a reference to Jeremiah 9. Let the one who boasts, look, it doesn't say don't boast. Boast is a great confidence in something. We are to have great confidence in something. In the Lord. Verse 18. For it is not the one who commends himself. Nice job, Carl. Knocked that one out of the ballpark. Woo! Nailed it! No. It's not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. See, the right measure, the right standard is Christ. Our commender, not commander, but it sounds like I'm saying that, our commender is not to be ourselves or the person to the right or to the left, not even your mom or dad, not even your spouse, not even your boss, not even your elders. Your commender is Christ. And when he is, and when you know he is, and you have a right understanding versus a wrong understanding that results in comparing one to another, we have a right boast. How? What does that look like? This has been a theme again and again throughout both letters to the Corinthians. In particular, this word boast has come up again and again and again. And it comes up in this passage everywhere you look. Boast, boast, boast. We will not boast. Verse 13. Verse 15. We do not boast beyond limits. Verse 16. So they're boasting. Verse 17. Boasting. We are to be boasting. Great confidence. This is what the Lord has done. He so happens to have done it through me, but He's done it. It starts with the right understanding of how one is even in Christ to begin with. That's where our passage starts off. If anyone's confident he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so are we, Paul says. There's an interesting play going on here. How did they become a Christian to begin with? Paul showed up there. But Paul will be the first person to tell you that he is in Christ, not by his worth, not by his work, but by God's mercy and grace and kindness. He's the least of all the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15. The greatest of all sinners. If you're going to have the right measure and the right boast, it starts with, first of all, understanding, rightly understanding, correctly understanding, if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, how did you get there? I was born in a Christian home. I show up at church on Sunday. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew like they do. There's that comparison. I do this, I do that, and according to my standard, that's good enough, that's why I'm a Christian. He told them in 1 Corinthians, and I have these passages always in the outline for you. There's a million passages correlated with each other throughout Scripture. I love that part of it. Backs it up and guards our interpretation of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and 2, he reminded them, not many of you were much of anything in this world's eyes. And the rulers of this world, they didn't understand it. They didn't get it. So they crucified Christ. But to us, it has been granted by the Spirit. If we are in Him to begin with, it's by His grace. By His kindness. My daughter quizzed me this morning. You know what Ephesians 2:8 says? Yeah, I do. By, say it, grace. Say it, by grace, you've been saved. You're allowed to talk if I ask you to. If you're talking to each other while I'm talking, that's rude. He doesn't do that. Start comparing, right? By grace, you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Is there any boasting? Yeah. Ephesians 2:1, I was dead. Not sick, not hurting, not limping. I recently know someone hurt their ankle badly on a hike. They made it back from the end of the hike because other people carried that person. No stick, no limping along. But that's not even a good enough example. We weren't out in the lake struggling and needing some help because we got tired or got a cramp. Going, oh, blah, 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 which you don't do when you drown anyway, by the way. Drowning is silent. We were on the bottom, no bubbles even coming out. And while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, God raised us up. Is there any boasting there? Absolutely. God did it. God did it. In Him. How he takes them back to the gospel in verse 7 and 8, and he brought them the gospel, and that comes up. And what is the gospel? That Jesus, the carpenter's son, is actually the son of Mary, a virgin, who lived the perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead. That's the gospel. It's what he did. The result is that if you have faith in Him, which is a gift of God, you're forgiven of your sin. The boast is Christ. The boast is Christ. He reminds them in verse 8, For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. We are in Him by grace, and we have whatever we have from Him by grace. No Ephesians 2:8, no Ephesians 2:10. For us to walk in them. And then 4:1 says, I, Paul, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk, same word, in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And of course, chapter 4 goes right into what? It goes into that Christ gave some to be, and some to be, and some to be, for the building up of the body of Christ. Sound familiar? That's what he's saying here. Yes, I have authority. The Lord gave it. What do we have that we have not received? Nothing. He gives us whatever He gives us for His glory as we use it to build up the body of Christ and serve. I focused on that 2 weeks ago. We're in Him by His undeserved kindness. Whatever He entrusts to us is by His undeserved kindness. And then what we do with that is for Him. And we get to share in that by His undeserved kindness. It is not the one, verse 18, who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And He does commend. He does say, good and well done, faithful servant. And how are we good and faithful? By His grace, we take whatever He's given us by His grace, having become alive in Him by His undeserved kindness, and we work wholeheartedly. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I'm the least of all, last born of the apostles, right? He goes on to say, I worked harder than the rest of them. Oh man, is he doing what he says not to do? Comparing himself? But he goes, and yet not I, but the grace of God. And there is boasting to be done in Christ. In Christ. He gives what He wills to whom He wills, including under common grace. He gives rain on the righteous as well as the wicked. He gives skill. He gives ability. He gives intelligence. And in His church, He gives gifts. He gives us resources. He decides who gets what. And none of us deserve any of it. The only question is, Lord, am I doing with this life that is not my own but has been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians? And all that You've entrusted to me that's not my own, You've given to me undeserved by Your kindness, am I doing with it that which pleases You? And when we are, He's our commender. And then it doesn't matter how we think we stack up to anyone else, or what anyone else's judgment on us or expectations of us are. What a gift to live life that way. Because let's face it, it's not just the kids at the playground who are comparing themselves. Right? Women, you gossip. And men, you tell jokes at other men's expense. Why? To build yourself up. There's someone who's worse than me. That's why. But we'll never build ourselves up to the point where we can stand before Christ. He stands us. He makes us fit. Think about the worst possible logistical reality you could be in life. Okay? Whatever it is, and I'm going to give one example. If we hate this example, no one ever wants to be in this example. You're a slave. Imagine you're a slave. No freedom. How about that for a talk about that on the 4th of July? being slave, no freedom. And you've got a master who is fickle. One minute wants this, next minute wants that, happy, angry, whatever. As a Christian, you could be in that scenario and sleep like a baby at night, as far as being concerned with whether or not that day you measured up. How? It's in Colossians chapter 3. Slaves, Christian slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Now, if I tell you to go rob the bank, you don't. Because God's standard trumps their standard. But obey your earthly masters, those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That's the gift that is the Christians. No matter what circumstance, no matter what situation we might find ourselves in, we, every day, could live a life that is pleasing to the one to whom everyone will answer at the end of that final day. What a gift. What a gift. And what do we do with it? We fall back into the wrong understanding, the wrong thinking. Oh, I need to compare with. Right? You compare with. You know what tends to happen in churches who have an elder who's paid full time and regularly does the preaching and the teaching, and he's there for a number of years, and then he leaves? You know what happens to the next guy in that position? Typically, doesn't last long. Why? Because he's not like Billy Joe Bob. Of course he's not. Because he's not Billy Joe Bob. And the Lord didn't make him Billy Joe Bob. Right? Here's the scenario that we're kind of in, playing off on that slave thing. Right? Imagine we're all slaves together. The same master. I get given the job of shoveling horse poop in the stables. You get the job of training the horses. You get to be the one who takes care of the finances for the master. You get to be one that receives the groceries at the back door. You get the one that takes care of the garden. What's our tendency? You only shovel poop. Right? I've seen it in movies, so it must be true, right? No, I don't know if it is. But period, time period setting movies, right? The servants are sitting in a certain order at a table based upon what their role is as a servant in the matter. That's so silly. We would do that. We would do that. We do it with our skills and abilities and gifting as the Lord's given us, not as earthly slaves. That's a wrong understanding. You have what you have from Christ and are in Christ all by His undeserved kindness. Now the only measure, comparison, standard you should be concerned about is Christ. Does He speak to us through His people? And are we challenged and spurred on? Yes. Could they be wrong? Yes. If all of you think that I am a qualified elder and rightly serving the Lord as an elder, but actually I'm not because there's something you don't know, guess what? Your judgment on the matter ultimately doesn't matter. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, I don't even judge myself. I don't care about you or any other court of law. Ultimately, it's Christ. That doesn't mean we don't care about what God says in His Word and the exhortations and encouragements that come from one another, but one another and one another's are not our measure. The measure, the standard, is much, much higher than anyone you might choose. It's not even reachable. It's Christ. Perfect obedience. Every jot and tittle of the law upheld. God raised Him from the dead and said, He is my Son, and He will judge the living and the dead. Everyone answers to Him. Whether they're horse poop shovelers, presidents, brain surgeons, masters, slaves, everyone will answer to Him. Woe is us. We could not stand before Him. But wait. The judge is the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb who takes away our sin. Next time you're feeling good about yourself because you're not as bad or you're better than Billy Joe Bob or Barbara something something, I try to make up names that no one's named. It's really quite simple. Go, oh wait, that's the wrong standard, Christ. Oh, that's the standard. Yeah. Next time you're feeling bad about yourself, because you're not like, or you don't, or you don't have, or you can't. Well, that's the wrong understanding. Right standard is Christ. Whatever I have, He says, this is what you should have. It's on Him. I'm not an eye. If the whole body was an eye, what would that look like? Really freaky. Everyone was an elbow. Right? What? 1 Corinthians. You notice the theme here? Throughout the letters, they want to boast. So do we. Admit it. You want to boast in ourself. I did that. I got that. Yeah. That's more than empty. That's a boast that is so often its understanding misses Christ and in the end only leads to death. But we are to boast. We're to boast in Christ. Yes, I am here today as a Christian. Boy, if you would have saw me 30 years ago, you would have said, no way. Matter of fact, the guy who shared the gospel with me laughed when I said I was thinking about being a pastor. I don't blame him. It's hard not to see only what's before you. Could you imagine meeting Paul before that moment on the road to Damascus? And someone said, you see that zealous Jew there who's going around and arresting Christians and bringing them to get killed? He is going to be a hand-pointed apostle. Jesus is going to show up, pick him, and send him to the nations. What have you been drinking? But he was, by God's grace. Forget about what you don't have, or who you're not like, or who you're better than. Look to Christ. None of us measure up. And He knew that, that's why He died for us. What do you have? You have what Christ has determined you should have. He has put you in this place in time, in location, in relationships, and He has given you the gifting by the Spirit that He has determined. And now the only issue is pleasing Him. Living with Him as our commender. And therein lies the opportunity, no matter what our circumstances, to end each day, to live each day, with a joy and a peace that surpasses understanding. The very thing we strive for and try to grab for ourselves, Christ has provided. We can stand before Him. We can hear Him say, good and well done,
faithful servant.
How?
By His grace.
You might work harder than the one next to you. Have this gifting, that gifting. You might have been less overtly a sinner when you became a Christian, or more overtly a sinner. No matter. It's by His undeserved kindness. Let's stop patting ourselves on the back or beating ourselves up because we're looking around at others. Let's fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's fix our eyes on the one who is seated at the right hand of God, the one in whom our life is both now and eternally kept. It's by Him, through Him, and for Him that all things exist, Colossians. That's us. What a gift. We can boast. The right boast is in Christ. Let's pray. Father, pride comes as naturally to us as breathing. We express it in typical ways that we think of, and it's even there in the ways that don't look like it. It's always there. Our greatest problem is ourselves. Father, it is right that we want to be commended and boast. But we're wrong when we base that upon ourselves in comparison with others. Father, we're apt to do that, prone to wander in that way. Thank You for this correction, maybe even rebuke, and most definitely exhortation here in Your Word. Father, write it on our hearts. That greater than before we walked in here this morning, and greater every day, will be our concern for living to please Christ. Fix our eyes, Father, upon You and Jesus Christ. Thank You that You do that. Thank You that You are kind and condescending. May we indeed measure ourselves. May it be with the right one. Christ, Your grace, stewards of what You have decided. May we embrace that and live by Your Spirit. That each day and on that final day, we will stand as good and faithful servants, sons and daughters, before our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.